Hello, my friends. This is Heather McAllister, health and life coach. Welcome to the Get Better with Heather show. Today, we're going to talk about how to identify your upper limit problem in order to reach your best potential. And I'm going to explain exactly what all of that is. I originally was going to name this How to Get Unstuck, but it wasn't quite complete because getting unstuck is part of the process for unleashing your inner potential. But in order to really achieve what you want in life, you have to take that one step further. So it's not just identifying what's keeping you stuck, but it is then putting in place or figuring out what it is that you should be doing. What is your inner genius? What is the level that you should be playing at? What qualities or strengths should you be kind of investing in yourself or identifying in order to reach your best potential and live that fulfilling life? So if you're feeling a little stuck in life, if you are at a place where you know you want more, and maybe you're not quite sure what that is, or you're trying to get somewhere and you just continually self-sabotage, that is the sign of an upper limit problem. I'm going to talk exactly about what that is because it's something I've had a lot of experience with myself. Now, this episode is going to be based on a book that I read by Gay Hendricks called Big Leap, Conquer Your Hidden Fear and Take Life to the Next Level. And conquering your hidden fear is the upper limit problem. Upper limit is sort of this glass ceiling that we have placed in our life. And I hate to say we have placed on ourselves because it really truly isn't something that we placed on ourselves, but it is a belief pattern that we have. There are limiting beliefs that hold us back in life and keep us small, keep us from achieving greater things, doing more with our life, that sort of thing. So the upper limit problem is going to show up in your life when either you're trying to do more for in your life or you're kind of happily going along with life and things are going good, and then you self-sabotage. And it kind of is, your upper limit problem is sort of that ceiling, like I said, that keeps you down and playing at this one level in life that you could also call your comfort zone. And the thing about your comfort zone is that it's safe. Your brain loves you being in that place. It loves sort of the status quo. It doesn't want us to go out and do harder, scarier things that sort of challenge these beliefs that we have about ourselves because it takes energy and then we have to face fears and our brain sees fear as something that it needs to protect us from. So it's an unnatural thing for us to do as humans to question what these fears are and to surpass these limits in our life. But we have an opportunity to do more with our lives, and sometimes we're held back by things that are truly false. And that's where this comes in because it's frustrating. You know that you can do more. You feel frustrated by the fact that you're constantly being held back and you're not quite sure what it is. And a lot of these fears and these false beliefs were really set in place as we were growing up. And I'm going to identify four of the common ones that are talked about in the book and how they can impact your ability to sort of progress in life or the thing that keeps making you sort of fall backwards and stay stuck. So the upper limit problem, just to give you an idea of how this might show up for someone in their life, is if you think about the person who goes from rags to riches, right? They've won the lottery. They won $1 million or $1 billion or whatever. And then in a couple of years, you hear that they spent it all and they're broke again. That's an upper limit problem. It is when you have this opportunity, you're in a good relationship with someone and you do something to self-sabotage. That's an upper limit problem. It is when you've lost the 50 pounds and you're feeling fabulous and you're happy and things are going great. And then you derail and you completely go off whatever plan you were following. You stop exercising. You start doing all of the things that kind of keep you or bring you back to that place where you're comfortable. And when I say comfortable, it's not comfortable to be unhappy, but it's easier sometimes than overcoming these beliefs that we have, especially when we don't know what they are. So we're going to start there. The four false beliefs that tend to keep us in our comfort zone or going past what we think, and I say we think, again, this is very unconscious often. When we're conscious of it, we can overcome it much more easily. It doesn't mean that we won't be uncomfortable when we try to overcome it, but at least we know what's holding us back. So it gives us something to work with. The first false belief or fear that holds us back from reaching our potential is we believe that there's something fundamentally wrong with us. And again, this is something that would have happened when you were a child, most likely. These are things, belief systems that get sort of in place by, you know, the teachers that we had and adults that we were around a lot. Could have been friends, could have been the environment that we lived in that period of time, or community around us and the beliefs that people held. So when we think that there's something fundamentally wrong with us, we may feel guilty about getting better at life, or we may think that we don't have what it takes, we're not worthy of it, there's something wrong with us, and that's what stops us from moving forward. It's this feeling that we're not okay, kind of in our core, like we're different. And this is something that I identify with a lot. I had a lot of this feeling growing up and this belief in different areas of my life growing up. And it's something that has been really challenging for me to sort of overcome because it does show up a lot for me. The second one is this belief that if I change, I'm being disloyal to the people around me. And when we're afraid of being disloyal to our group, our people, our community, there's this sort of fear of being alone and abandoned, or abandoning other people. And there's some guilt around that. So when we have this fear of, let's say, you know, moving out of a neighborhood that we grew up in, or if we stop, let's say losing weight and you're part of a weight loss community, Weight Watchers community, that kind of thing, and you've lost the weight, you're doing great. Now you no longer identify with those people anymore, and that's your community, those are your friends. You kind of fear leaving them. This can also happen when you have drinking buddies, people that you go out to the bar with, and you've decided to change your behavior and stop drinking. And these people, maybe they kind of try to guilt you into it a little bit and invite you back out to the bars and drink, even though you're trying to be really good and not do that. There's this sort of fear of being disloyal that keeps you in that behavior pattern or pulls you back into that behavior pattern. The third one is a fear of outshining someone else. This is something that keeps us small. And this often happens when we grow up with siblings that have been sort of quote unquote, maybe not outwardly said, but you felt as if your sibling was the golden child, right? So you have a fear of sort of outshining them. You've always kept yourself small. You know, you hold back quite a bit so that you're not outshining other people because of this fear of outshining other people. And again, this is based on dynamics of growing up in a household where maybe there was a child that was sort of seen as the golden child. And then lastly, another very common false fear is the fear of being a burden. And the fear of being a burden may show up if you felt as if maybe you were in the way as a child, your parents were too busy for you, or maybe there wasn't enough money to go around and, you know, you just felt like you were asking, you know, if you asked for anything, you were a burden. So that can show up in that, you know, the more successful you are, the more burden you are placing on others in the world. And that these are the things that can kind of get in the way as you're progressing and you're starting to see some success and they pull you back. So these fears, and what our brain does is it sees these things as, you know, a threat, and any threat that your brain sort of perceives, it's going to pull you back and it's going to influence and, you know, create behaviors that sabotage your success. So those are the four fears that are kind of false beliefs or false fears that create the upper limit. So then what happens when we are in that upper limit? What are some behaviors that we may actually see? So I'm going to go over that as well. So like I said before, these are the four false beliefs or fears that get in our way, right? They sort of form the foundation for that glass ceiling and why it's there. Now, what happens is those beliefs influence our behaviors and how we act, right? So fear can create different reactions in different people. Some people, when they're faced with fear, they freeze, right? So we've heard of the fight, flight, fawn, and freeze, right? Some people may just stop in their tracks. Some people may curl up and avoid. Other people may get really angry and fight. So they may start creating arguments and quarrels. And some people may actually run the other way, right? So all of these things, all of these behaviors can be, you know, a sign that you are facing this upper limit problem in your life. So let's say, you know, you're in a relationship finally with somebody that you really truly care about. You're really happy. And one of these fears is showing up in your life. Let's say your fear is that you're fundamentally flawed and you don't deserve to have a good relationship because there's something wrong with you. How you handle that fear might be through fight. Right? So you might start to self-sabotage this wonderful relationship you have in your life, and by creating arguments or quarreling, or you may do something that's completely out of integrity and self-sabotage by cheating on your partner or your spouse or something like that. This can show up with, you know, if you've lost 50 pounds, right? And your fear of abandoning the people in your community. Let's say you live with people and your friends are all overweight and you've achieved this weight loss. And now you're the only one, you're different from them. And you have this fear of abandoning them, right? So your self-sabotage may be to avoid those feelings and go and snack instead. So by snacking, you kind of cover up that feeling of fear and you're also self-sabotaging. So those are behaviors that you might see. It might be that you constantly worry. So, you know, you're finally feeling happy and successful. You have the finances that you've always wanted, you have a dream job, and you're just constantly worrying. You're waiting for the shoe to drop, and you just can't sit comfortably in that happiness of the moment. And that constant worry, not the kind of worry that has a purpose, but just worrying about everything and having this negative stream of thought constantly in our mind, it's just holding us back from our happiness. That is a sign that there is some upper limit issue showing up for you. So once we've identified the false belief that is creating this false fear that's holding us back from our highest potential, we can then start to dispel it. So really shining a light on what that fear is and questioning it, but then also connecting it with the behaviors that you're seeing in your life. So it's a really good idea at this point to sit back and think about, you know, the things that are holding you back and why. What is coming, like, and how is it showing up in your life? Like, what are you doing? What are some of the things that may be self-sabotaging your success, and really identifying those behaviors and then uncovering why that is? That exercise alone can really help you, because you're just identifying and you're realizing, when I do this, it's because of this. And you can make a conscious choice to not do that. Some of this is uncomfortable, and it really does require a little bit of willingness on your part to, number one, be curious with yourself and be kind to yourself through this process. But also, you might be uncomfortable. You may have to do things if you want to progress that feel uncomfortable, right? You may have to sit with the feeling of fear of abandoning people or outshining people and getting okay with that, being okay with that. That's one of the things that may be really, really important for you in order to progress. The other thing that Gay Hendricks talks about is really loving ourselves. And in order to get past your upper limit and then sort of create this life of potential and reach that potential, maximize, you know, what you're able to achieve in life, and maybe even never reach your fullest potential, just always be progressing, is to come from a place of self-love. You need to accept some of those flaws or some of those fears and beliefs, right? And identify them from a place of love for yourself and abundance. And then also be in integrity always. So that path to finding your genius, to finding the thing that is really special about you, that when you live in your genius, you are just very fulfilled and very satisfied in doing the thing that you're great at, right? Just, you're not even excellent, you're a genius at it. In order to get there, you need to go through this path, right? So the path of your upper limit to loving yourself with abundance, and then acceptance of where you've come from versus being judgmental and critical and harsh with yourself, and then being in integrity. This is another step in that path of journey of finding your potential. And what that means is being brutally honest with yourself and with others about how you're feeling and what's going on with you. And keeping your agreements. This is about making a commitment. This is really, really important. I see this a lot with people in weight loss. And the thing that's going to drag you down is if you don't do the thing you say you're going to do, whether it's in a relationship or it's with yourself or it's at work, any one of those places. Because when you are out of your commitment, you're breaking the agreements, then you are out of integrity. And this reduces your upper limit. So if you want to raise that glass ceiling, you want to be in integrity with yourself. And that requires you doing the things that you say you're going to do, right? And this can be as simple as you say you're going to call someone at a certain time, you call someone at a certain time. You say you're going to show up and do something, you show up and do it. Something crops up that you can't be there, you call. You're always being in integrity with your commitments to yourself and with other people. Because when you're not, that's sucking energy out of your system. And in order to reach your maximum potential, in order to reach or be more fulfilled in life, you need to maximize your energy. And part of that is going to depend on how you are in integrity, or how much you are in integrity with yourself. So then lastly, what you're hoping to achieve is this awareness and ability to live in your potential and live in your zone of genius. So the next thing we're going to talk about is how do you identify what that is? So our upper limit can actually keep us from experiencing our zone of genius when we can function in this area of competence or even excellence quite easily. And it doesn't require us going out of our comfort zone. It doesn't require us testing our upper limit at all. And we get really comfortable at what we do. And this reminds me of a step that I took in my early 40s to get my MBA. I was looking for more, wanting to progress in my career and my professional life. And, getting my MBA and going back to school was something that was kind of easy for me. It was something that I had, been able to do before. I'm good at school. It's not something that required a whole lot of challenge. It was challenging in some sense, but, I knew it was something that I could do, but it wasn't what I really wanted. It wasn't putting me in a position to, operate in my zone of genius. It's zone of genius is kind of a different level. It's not necessarily a skill that we have or we learn. It's just something that we're inherently really good at. So the thing that I really wanted to do, the thing that was really lighting me up, was to have my own business. But that definitely challenged a lot of my upper limit issues. So much easier to go to school, get my MBA, than face all of that hard stuff. And so that's why it's really important to do this work, because we can sometimes make decisions in life that aren't exactly what we want, but we avoid the things that we really want because of the fear or those false beliefs that are popping up in our life. So one of the things that you can do and really ponder on this, and you might want to spend some time thinking about this, in order to identify what your zone of genius is to really sit back and think about what are the things that you just get lost in doing. I call that your flow state, where you can do it all day long and it feels more energizing. It's not going to suck your energy away. And, what are the things also that you do or have done in life that feel really good and you lose track of time when you're doing them? And then once you've identified those things, identify the different areas of life or the different things that you're doing, and why is it? What is it about you, number one, uniquely, that makes you good at doing that? But what is it about those things? If you can identify the theme in those things that you're doing that you get lost in doing that just feels so good and exciting and energizing, then you're kind of getting to and tapping into that part of you, that genius part, that unique ability. And when you figure that out and you create a way to have that be either a part of your career or just a part of your day, even if you can figure out what it is that you're uniquely good at and you can live with that as part of, what you're doing or spending most of your time to, or adding it in some way to the job that you currently have. So if your genius zone has something to do with relationships with people or making people feel good, how can you incorporate that into what you're doing already? That's going to energize you. It's going to give you more fulfillment in your life and have you feel more satisfied with the things that you're doing. So when you're getting really close to your unique ability, and when you feel this sense of wonder and excitement inside of you, you know you're onto something. You know that you are tapping into that zone of genius for yourself. But in order to get there, the first step, really, you can't get there without identifying that upper limit and the thing that's going to hold you back from truly realizing your potential. And from what I hear from Gay Hendricks in his book is this goes for everyone. It's just at different levels of our life, right? So whether you're making $100 a week or $1,000 a week or $10,000 a week or whatever it may be, you have an upper limit in there somewhere that's holding you back. So identifying how that's playing out in your life at any level, you always have room to progress. Okay, guys, so that is it for today. Thank you for joining the Get Better with Heather show in talking about realizing your potential, identifying your zone of genius. I definitely recommend The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks if you want to read it. It's not a very long book. Actually, let's see. How many pages are in this? It's 216 pages. And that's with an appendix and all of that. So it's not a very long book, but it's really impactful. I've gone back and read this and reread it, and I probably will read it again because I'm gaining so much more insight every time I go back to reading it, not only for myself, but for my clients that I work with, because that's the work we do. We help understand all of this stuff. And as a coach, my job is to help people identify these limiting beliefs and how they're playing out in life. And it's funny because it is so much easier to identify these things in other people than it is to identify them in yourself. So actually, that's one of the reasons why I have a coach. And that is really, really helpful. But anyway, thanks for joining me. And if you want more of this, if you don't want to miss any of the episodes, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And I would love, love, love a review. I'm hoping that this show and all the time that I'm putting into it is helpful for you all. If you have ideas or questions, feel free to get a hold of me. My website is getbetterwithheather.com. You can find number of ways to get a hold of me there. Take care, guys.